The Dharma, incomparably profound and exquisite, is rarely met with, even in hundreds of thousands of millions of kalpas. We now can see it, hear it, accept and hold it. May we realize the true mind of the Tathagata. Today is day two of this seven-day sesshin here in northern New Mexico at Mountain Gate on a very windy, but at the moment, brightly sunny day in February 2019. Tomorrow, it is said there's going to be a big, very big winter storm coming in. So it's a great time to be hunkered down in the Zendo, diving within so that the weather can howl around us outside, but we are secure in our search, our deep search for who we really are, what life is really about, and to ultimately experience the freedom of knowing that deep truth. That's what Zen practice is. It's a search for who we really are. And an independence, a growing independence from the tyranny of a self-image that has to be defended, that determines so many times what we think, how we react rather than respond to circumstances. So today I'd like to share a poem by a good friend of mine, longtime friend of mine, Richard Wehrman, who is not only a beautiful poet, but also a beautiful artist and renowned graphic designer. He's retired now in terms of the graphic design business, I believe. I'm not really sure about that actually, but I believe he is. He's definitely into his 70s and prolific in his expression of art in so many different forms, most recently in poetry, which he also illustrates, by the way. And he's got a number of books of his poems available on Amazon.com. So if you Google Richard Wehrman, W-E-H-R-M-A-N, and give it a try, you may be well rewarded. Today's poem is entitled Prometheus. Prometheus was a Greek god. He's in the Greek pantheon, and he's famous for having supposedly created human beings out of clay and then given them fire, which enabled civilization and science in particular, advancement of the human being scientifically. Unfortunately, the other gods were not too happy with that, and he was punished by being bound to a rock, and every day an eagle would fly down and eat his liver. And then overnight, the liver would grow back, and the next day it would happen again. And in ancient Greek philosophy, by the way, he was immortal, so this was going to go on eternally. Read here a little bit from Wikipedia. And it says that the liver was thought to be the seat of human emotions. So I'm not quite sure what it means that his liver would be eaten every day, but it certainly does not sound like a fun experience. And he's revered in a sense as a beacon of science. Fire could express the fire in human beings to learn, to develop, to grow, as well as the fire to understand, to explore. And so it's natural that it would be a beacon of science. And This is something that is important in our Zen practice too, to explore. Not to take the status quo as permanent or even as real. We have all come to Zen practice through some sense that there must be something beyond, combined often with challenges in our daily life, pain and suffering of some level that expresses the First Noble Truth, that life is characterized by something called in Sanskrit dukkha, which represents anything that is not comfortable, whether it's just plain old boredom or whether it is deep anguish. And life is characterized by that. Tony Packer once told me that she only met one person who had not come to Zen through pain. And she added, it only took him 6 months to uncover it. We're all prone to disappointments. We're all prone to, if we live long enough, the aging of the physical body. Questions arise. Is it worth living? What's living for? Who am I? Isn't there something more than the humdrum of everyday life? Some people are fortunate to have a rich everyday life, but still, that nagging question operates below the scene. So let's read Richard's poem. Prometheus, I'm not here to entertain you, but to urge you on, to point you in directions you've already begun to look, to say yes rather than no, to encourage and excite your exploration of mystery, of who you are at the root of things, to let amazement envelop you, to give astonishment full rein, to let wonder grow in you, and let boredom and apathy die their natural death. What reason for any words if they do not kindle excitement, not for trivialities, but for the tremulous sense of approaching greatness, not your own, but your own expanded in fullness that activates your capacities beyond your old limiting, confining sense of a self that lives in boxes and chains. Maybe I am a wind that, like Prometheus, blows fire into this expansion of your heart, where even now you feel brightness and warmth growing, passion beginning to burn you into your own bright star. And once more. Prometheus, I am not here to entertain you, but to urge you on, to point you in directions you've already begun to look, to say yes rather than no, to encourage and excite your exploration of mystery, of who you are at the root of things, to let amazement envelop you, to give astonishment full rein, to let wonder grow in you, and let boredom and apathy die their natural death. What reason for any words if they do not kindle excitement? Not for trivialities, but for the tremulous sense of approaching greatness? Not your own, but your own expanded in fullness that activates your capacities beyond your old, limiting, confining sense of a self that lives in boxes and chains. Maybe I am a wind that, like Prometheus, blows fire into this expansion of your heart, where even now you feel brightness and warmth growing, passion beginning to burn you into your own bright star. Passion beginning to burn you into your own bright star. Burning. What does fire do besides elicit excitement? It burns away the old, and that allows the new to be revealed, or the naked to be revealed and to rise. what is this nakedness? What is this real you? Beyond the bounds and chains of a self-image. Here, on these cushions, on these chairs, in this zendo, we allow ourselves to move beyond words, to drop into unknowing, into fear, which initially comes up with unknowing, because we're so conditioned to having to feel the walls around us to feel safe. And if there are no walls, if we begin to see through those walls, dissolve those walls that we have carefully erected in the name of self, that's a small s, preservation, so that the larger self, with a capital S, the one with a capital O, that we really are, can be revealed. Dive deep. Ride the out-breath farther than you can imagine. Allow yourself to let go, to feel that fear if it comes up in its fullness. But dare to go beyond the ordinary, beyond where we think we are limited, where we assume our limits are. It's a vast, dangerous, incredible, amazing exploration. It's Zen practice. Long ago, quite long ago at this point, there was a young man, a pilot, during the Second World War, and at 19, he wrote a poem of the wonder of flying, of the freedom. And in the poem, he speaks of having touched the face of God. He died in that war. But who he had thought he was died first. And so, as Shirobunan wrote, when you die, if you've died before you die, you won't die when you die. Surely that was his fate, if you want to call it a fate, his unbinding, his unlimiting of himself. I touched the face of God. When we do our Zen practice, we have the potential to reach something even deeper than that. And all this curiosity, and all this challenge in life becomes a gift because it motivates us to dive deep, to explore, to open, and to eventually realize. And we have to make sure that we understand that realization can come in stages. Even the Buddha spent lifetimes letting go, opening up, before he became fully enlightened. But every one of us sitting here is on our way. Don't ever forget that. No matter what you might find before you within the practice, embrace it. Allow yourself to become it fully, and it will melt. It will dissolve, and you will find yourself in a so much deeper place. and freer. Truly more free. Prometheus, I am not here to entertain you, but to urge you on, to point you in directions you have already begun to look, to say yes rather than no, to encourage and excite your exploration of mystery of who you are at the root of things, to let amazement envelop you, to give astonishment full rein, to let wonder grow in you and let boredom and apathy die their natural death. Without reason for any words, if they do not kindle excitement, not for trivialities, but for the tremulous sense of approaching greatness, not your own, because that would be so limiting, but your own expanded in fullness that activates your capacities beyond your old limiting, confining sense of a self that lives in boxes and chains. Maybe I'm a wind that, like Prometheus, blows fire into this expansion of your heart, where even now you feel brightness and warmth growing, passion beginning to burn you into your own bright star. So, go for it. Thank you for listening. We'll stop now and recite the four vows.